Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week, our guest is a legend of broadcasting, author of essential industry guides such as Radio Moments and Radio Secrets, radio consultant and historian David Lloyd. 3 years ago, David co-founded Boom Radio, a station for an older generation of listeners that he felt had been forgotten. And now that brand extends with the launch of Boom Rock. I congratulated David on 3 years of Boom and asked him how it's been going.
It seems like 2 minutes, to be honest, since we had the idea of setting up a radio station for older folk, as we call ourselves. But it's flown by and it's just been so exciting.
How have the last 3 years been?
When we started, we thought, well, we'll just try Boom Radio in London on DAB, see how it goes. And then after literally 2 weeks, the response was so overwhelming, we thought we need to go national straight away. And luckily, there was a little bit of space on the one of the national multiplexes. So we rolled out Boom Radio nationally really, really quickly. And so the scale of the whole thing grew more quickly than we'd ever imagined. And the audiences we have now, we'd never have dreamed of those. So it's been a hugely fulfilling 3 years, the most fulfilling thing I've ever done in my 40 plus years of radio by some margin. It's also been thoroughly exhausting. I mean, we'd all semi-retired, you know, we were starting to, you know, do all sorts of interesting things. But this is more than a full-time job. It is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week when you're running a national radio station on so few people and trying to have the professionalism, range and diversity of output that we're trying to do. So exhausting is probably the best answer.
There is something about it that just literally caught the imagination of the listening public, though. Was there a vision when you first came up with the idea that this model of not having physical buildings, everyone working at home?
I think we felt, both as human beings and as radio professionals, that when you get over 60, the world starts to treat you in a very different way. You know, if I go for a job now, people say, who's that old bloke waiting in reception? That's the reality of it. And we realised that everybody else over 60 felt the same way, that the world actually didn't actually value them that much. Yes, we were playing amongst the, you know, the musical array that we play on Boom is principally 60s and 70s, but we have 80s and more recent too, and a sprinkling of 50s as well. So, you know, that is important. And clearly that chimes with our generation because they grew up to that music and they love hearing it again. But hearing broadcasters who are all in their 60s, 70s or 80s, in other words, all the cultural references, everything they say, you know, we can refer to obliquely to a sitcom from 1972 and our audience get it. So people like our audience, talking to our audience and chiming with our audience, we thought that would work. And I have to say, the feedback we are getting, you know, all of us who work in radio, we get lovely letters from people who really value what we do. And that's part of why we worship this wonderful medium of radio. But here the feedback is, you know, people really say, you have changed my life. And we get people, you know, writing to us and saying, this will be the first new year I've not spent with my husband, lost him a few months ago. And you've been you've been such a companion, and those sorts of words. And they just come in their hundreds and thousands, these emails. So I don't think we imagine that would be the sense of belonging that this community radio station created. To come back to your point on doing it remotely, we knew it would be a very tough commercial operation. Nobody else in commercial radio has set out specifically to target an older audience. Advertising is tough to come by. The advertising fraternity, the ad agencies, for, you know, all sorts of some understandable, some puzzling reasons, don't attach the same value to people over the age of 55, you know, because they think we're about to keel over and die, or we're very cheap to buy on other media, or we've made our mind up about every brand we're ever likely to buy. All these misconceptions. So we knew it would be taxing to make a business out of this. And, you know, certainly in the early days, you know, we had to watch every penny that we were spending. And the only way we can do this is not having a lovely head office anywhere, by doing it from our homes. And with today's technology, you can do that really easily. But I think it's enabled us to get broadcasters who probably don't want to traipse into London every day, who do want to pop upstairs and do it. But it also adds to the intimacy when listeners think that the big names who were once on Radio 1 and Radio 2 are speaking to them very personally now from the attic at the same sort of age they are, living the same sort of life that they've lived. That intimacy, I think, has added to the station rather than taken away from it. I think we have more stationality than many radio stations in buildings where all the presenters just wander in and fall out. Oh, you've worked there too.
Do you ever all manage to get together?
Very rarely. We had a sort of bit of a half-hearted get together fairly early on because it was just during COVID that we launched, so it was rather difficult. We had a lovely party about a year ago in London at the Ivy. We treated ourselves and we all met up. And for some people, this is the first time they've ever met each other. And it was the first time I met our commercial director. It was the first time, you know, this is the post-COVID world. We had not met each other in one place. It was the most remarkable, remarkable night as we shared the success.
3 years ago, you launched the station, but now it is a brand. There's Boom Light, now there's Boom Rock. Tell me about the process you go through when you launch a new station.
It's almost beyond a radio station. It's beyond a brand. It's almost a movement. The way that our listeners talk to us, that's that sense of belonging. So we realise we'd hit something. We are a brand for old people who aren't old. You know, we talk about feeling young again, and that's the feeling we all have. And in terms of the spin-off stations, we do a lot of research, a huge amount of research with our audience. And there were a couple of areas where we knew there was an appetite, but it would be difficult to feast that appetite on the main channel. And the first of those was people who said, can you play more 50s? Please play more records in the 50s. Play more 50s. You know, there's quite a sizable volume of opinion. And it was difficult to do that on the main channel because if we play more 50s, that means fewer 60s records or 70s records. You know, there's always got to be 70s sacrifice. So it's difficult. And we didn't want to change the recipe of Boom Radio itself because we'd proven that. So we created Boom Light, first of all, which was lighter music and 1950s. It's a very easy listen. It's a lovely mood listen, even if you don't like 50s tracks. So that was a very obvious spin-off. And that's grown really, really well. You know, it's a significant percentage of the scale of Boom Radio itself, although that one is only online and not on DAB. And the other one was rock. There was an appetite for even more daring rock music. Now, we know what would happen to our main channel if we played that in any quantity. I mean, the great thing about audience streaming now is you can see response to every single thing you do in real time. You know if a program junction doesn't work. You know if a presenter works or doesn't work. You know if a record doesn't chime. You can see it. You know what the graph should look like. And unless there's something else happening in the world or a competitor's doing something else, it's your fault or your evidence of your brilliance. So, you know, we knew where we could take risks and where we couldn't. And there was a lot of rock repertoire, which we couldn't play too frequently or in such depth on the main channel. So Boom Rock was the second spin-off, which launched on our third birthday, and that's made a really good start already. It's a you know, significant proportion of Boom Light size, even though it's 18 months behind.
Get ready to rock around the clock. Here we go. Here's Nicky Horn.
The date is February the 14th, 2024. The time, 10 a.m. Good morning. This, for the very first time, is Boom Rock.
Talking about the data, and you can really drill in now, can't you? And it can be really precise. That's very important, isn't it, when you're running a radio station?
It is. It's you know, the intelligence that I didn't have at all my other radio stations in the same way, because you know, first of all, it didn't exist, and then when online did exist, it was such a small proportion of listening and an atypical proportion with a different listening curve and flavour, and it was difficult to use that as a programmer. But now I think, and I have to suspect many programmers will agree with me, that it's what you program by. Radar is a great, reliable, trusted trading currency. Great bank that. But to work out which programs are working and how, just looking at that data of their behavior is enormous. You know, it doesn't give you demos and things like that, but it gives you an enormous amount of insight. So I can say that, you know, it's kicked off very well. The feedback from the listeners is brilliant, and they are a critical bunch, our audience. You know, you get to our age, you think, well, I'm right. I know everything about everything. They're a critical bunch, and particularly, I have to say, rock fans, because they're generally, you know, they're into their music. You know, a significant proportion of them are musos.
They're very knowledgeable, aren't they? Yeah.
We do dig, and just like the characteristics of Boom Radio itself, we dig deeply into the record collection. We don't just go to the best-known tracks. I'm not decrying that as a strategy, by the way. You know, if I were running Gold, I'd do exactly what they do. If I were running Greatest Hits, etc. You know, programmers play different tactics in different ways, and if I work in someone else, I'd play a different tactic. But everyone else is doing that. Big groups are doing that. You know, we want to get create a niche and do it brilliantly. And if that niche is big enough, we can create a successful radio station. So on Boom, you know, it's album rock, it's hard rock, it's psychedelic, it's prog, it's folk, new wave, West Coast favourites. We're digging deeply. And the response has been enormously positive so far.
I think it's that mixture and that blend that resonates with people, because you do credit the audience with that musical intelligence. I was listening just this morning. There was The Jam, then there was, this was Boom Rock, Depeche Mode. Then there was a Led Zepp track. Then there was Faith No More. And each one I was going, yes, yeah, oh, another great song, another great song, another great song. I mean, the strapline is that great song you haven't heard in ages, we're playing it next. Boom has been such a breath of fresh air. Why was no one else doing it, do you think?
I should pay credit for Boom Rock to my other half, Paul Roby, who's the content director for the whole group, and he's been overseeing the rock project. Gary Burton is running it day-to-day, who used to be at Six Music in its very early days. And we're also, of course, privileged to have Nicky Horn with us. It's like a dog off a leash. You know?
And so we begin, as we mean to go on, AC/DC. For those about to rock, we salute you. And rock is what we do here on Boom Rock, and it's going to be the wide world of rock. And you're going to hear, just like we do on the mothership, Big Boom, we're going to play you things that you've not heard in a long while.
He's a happy man, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a very happy man. So, you know, Nicky has been, one of the influencers in creating Boom Rock. And Roger Day, of course, who's out there playing the album tracks in the 60s, you know, on the pirate ships, he's with us as well. So what a great team. But why is no one else doing it? Well, you know, we know as programmers, to attract the biggest audience, you should play the hits and play them frequently enough so that your listeners, when they come through the door for the first time, they hear those hits. That's a thoroughly sound strategy. And as I say, running a different radio station, I do that. You market it like hell and you create very, very successful radio stations. But there are some listeners who actually think, do you know, I just want something a little bit spicier, a little bit different, a bit more surprise. It's not the biggest market, but it's big enough for us. We like to give the impression we're playing, pardon my phrase, any old rubbish. You know, we don't care. We're just throwing it. As you can imagine, it's really thought through. And certainly on Boom Radio, you know, although we're playing some really risky stuff, we'll come out the news with something fairly well known. We'll come out the ad break with something well known. And if there's something a little bit spicier, you'll notice it's before or after a presenter's spoken, and just explain why the hell we're playing it to the listeners. So there is a lot of care that goes round our miscellany.
You can feel that care, though, and you can feel that love for the music. Music scheduling is an art. It is a science. But a lot of your presenters choose some of their own tracks or even all of their own music. Tell me about that trust and that value that you put into those broadcasters and that knowledge that you allow them to do that?
A very carefully framed question. Our listeners always say, do the presenters choose the music? I mean, what tends to happen is the presenters will suggest many of the tracks they want to play. They might say, well, I'd love to play this Saturday, or here's a list of things I think will really fit this program. So the presenters chip in, some more than others. You know, some are really, really interested and want to contribute a lot. And we build the programs around those. So obviously then Paul or Gary in the case of Rock, or Derek in the case of Light, will build the program round the presenter. I mean, when Paul does Nicky Horn's program, he will take all Nicky's choices and he will schedule material around with Nicky Horn in mind. So, you know, you won't get suddenly the Doolies popping up. I might play the Doolies, but Nicky Horn wouldn't. So the whole thing is framed with him in mind, even though he doesn't choose every track. And Nicky will look at it. And then there'll be discussion often after we've put the log together. So there's dialogue between them. And I think, you know, give presenters enough trust. And so long as they feel they are valued and we have faith in what they say. If they just think we're good old-fashioned programmers saying, no, we know best, you know, we wouldn't have a very fruitful dialogue. But I think, you know, there is trust between the presenters and Paul, who puts the music together. And therefore, it's a very constructive dialogue. Yeah, we fall out now and again. Well, yeah, that's part of the
that's
dialogue.
That's part of the fun, isn't it?
but I think they would all say, I think, I feel a real sense of ownership of the program I present.
Your presenters are very, very excited. Experienced. You have some great names and they have that knowledge. And I feel so much when I listen to Boom that there is a respect for that knowledge of radio, of broadcasting, and of music.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you hear Graham's music choices in the morning, who likes, you know, the close harmonies of the 50s and 60s, if you listen to David Hamilton, who, you know, enjoys the pop and the fluff of the 70s, and then you've got Nicky with rock, and you've got Roger Day, you know, with his pirate influences, they've all got different repertoires that they're most familiar with. And the great thing is they introduce us to new tracks. You know, Nicky will say, here's a track, and we'll listen to that. Wow, okay, we're going to spin that actually across the station, because that is so good. And we play some new music as well. And, you know, when we started, we did get some listeners harumphing, saying, I thought you were boomers. That's not a boomer. I can't do. Just trying to get away from that radio too. And we say, you know, we're a radio station talking to people like us, to think that no new music can ever be released that was as good as, you know, it's a pretty depressing thought. Yeah. So we do serve it up with good reasons. We mix that in as well. But as you say, you know, it's the strength of the broadcasters and their knowledge, which is the reason that Boom Radio is successful. And you'll notice, you know, we do give them license to talk a bit more than other radio stations. And again, they do what they do for brilliant reasons. And I do it too. But what we do is something a bit different.
You mentioned Nicky there. You mentioned Gary and Roger Day. They are the three names currently on Boom Rock. Is there plans to expand, get more presenters onto that branch of Boom?
Yes, we've started Boom Light just with one presenter, one show, and we've grown that inch by inch. I mean, clearly we are a small independent company, and several independent radio stations, not part of big groups, have fallen over the years, even though what they did was in various parts and various ways really good. Because what you've got to do, obviously, is make not only get the programming right, but A, get everyone to hear about it in terms of marketing, which has been, you know, the challenge for us on fairly low budgets, and also get the income through the door, because if you don't do that, you don't take it forward. So, you know, we've needed to get all that in mind. Therefore, we watch what we spend really, really carefully. And clearly, as we start a new offshoot, it doesn't make money straight away. So we like to make sure it's just sort of washing its face before we then invest in more programs, as we have done on Light, and as we'd like to do on Boom Rock. Because online listening is, you know, as I say, it used to be a tiny bit of fair, but it's for Boom Radio, it's half our audience is listening online. So Boom Radio on DAB and online, half of it is online. So therefore, you know, nowadays, an online radio station, well-marketed, done well, is starting to be a standalone force. And the same thing happened, you know, years ago. We had DAB. You couldn't make a radio station work on DAB only. Remember those days? You know, in fact, you know, going back further, you couldn't make a radio station work on FM only. No. About the 60s, when BBC Local Radio opened on FM and then realised it had to have AM backup. So gradually, these platforms become dominant. And online now has reached those. No doubt now, online has reached that tipping point.
It's interesting you say that, actually, because even as a radio person, there are radios in the house, but I don't listen through the radio anymore. My house is covered in smart speakers, so I just can call up anything. And to me, that's the radio. I don't care whether it's anymore, whether it's FM, DAB or just online. That's audio to me, that's sound, and that's how I access it. It's really interesting that you should say that and that you've tapped into that. And there is this perception that older people don't go online, that they don't use online, but that quite clearly isn't the case.
We've had to help our audience find us. I mean, one of the most common queries we get is, how do I listen? What numbers? What frequencies? And we have to gently say, you don't need to. And they get, we've had two or three who get really, for goodness sake, can you tell me the frequency? No, you just need our name. If we can give you a frequency, but it's DAB and there's about 20 other stations on the same frequency. So, you know, it has been, you know, a bit of an impediment to people finding us. But as you can see by our audience figures, many, many people can. And the great thing is, when people say to us, I can't find you, don't forget I'm 70, we can write back and say, yeah, many of us are as well, you know. Yeah. And we've got the radio station on air, so please could you just make a bit of effort and find it on your radio, you know. And we can talk to our audience like that, you know, because we're all in the same boat.
I'm going to close with something of a massive question.
Oh, don't
worry. Because it's not often you get to talk to David Lloyd, radio consultant, radio historian. Your blog is essential reading for the industry, in my humble opinion.
Thank you.
Where is the future for music radio, and particularly of the type that you are making? Where do you see not just Boom going, but music radio going in the future?
When I talk about the future of radio, I always end up by saying something like, whatever happens in the future, whatever platforms, whatever formats, how it's delivered, what it's called, the one constant is that people will always have two ears and they will always want something interesting to put into those ears. So I think so long as we can continue delivering something interesting, something entertaining, there will always be a future for what we do.
David Lloyd, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. At risk of sounding like the listeners that say, what frequency? Where can we find Boom Radio and Boom Rock and all the things that you do, please?
Boom Radio is across much of the UK on DAB, and people listening to your specialist podcast will realise that there are a number of national multiplexes. We're on SDL. Try explaining that to a listener. So that covers, you know, most homes, most major roads, and also online, of course, in all the usual places, and Boom Rock and Boom Light online in all the usual places.
A huge thank you to David Lloyd for spending the time to talk to me about all things Boom Radio and Boom Rock. If you're off to Glasgow tonight, 28th of February, for our Foot in the Door event, then have an amazing time. And if you can't make it, don't worry. We'll be highlighting what happened on our socials, and there'll be a special podcast in the next few weeks. If you have an idea for the podcast, then get in touch at podcast@radioacademy.org. I'd love to hear from you. And if you subscribe to the Radio Academy podcast, then you'll never miss an episode. I'll see you next week.